In today's video, you'll learn about the intricacies of measuring and reporting corporate citizenship. We explore why these processes are crucial and how they differ from other corporate reports. We dive into the challenges of quantifying philanthropic efforts, the art of effective societal outcome measurement, and the power of storytelling. Let's make a social impact.
Hi everyone, I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today, my guest is Andrew Jones, who is a senior researcher at the Conference Board, and we're going to talk about measuring corporate citizenship. So thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Carl. Real pleasure to be here at the Social Impact Show representing the Conference Board. It's great to join you.
Awesome. So when we talk about measuring and reporting corporate citizenship, What does it mean? What are we referring to? Because it's really not always a straight, like, it isn't a direct understanding of what we're actually measuring.
I think this is a really important place to start, right? I mean, perhaps it helps if we can really define what we're talking about and what we mean. Because measurement and reporting is very broad areas, right? So I think, first of all, corporate citizenship, I think, as we all know, is kind of referring to corporate philanthropy, you know, our charitable programs, our grants, our employee volunteering, community engagement. It doesn't encompass the much broader suite of ESG and sustainability, although there is some overlap. So when we talk about measurement, I think what we're really referring to is quantifying and tracking the effectiveness and impact of those corporate citizenship efforts over time, right? So, you know, setting very kind of clear measurable objectives, and then using the right sort of indicators and metrics to track progress over time. And obviously that's very important, because it's only by doing that we can really see if we're having the effect we want and make the right kind of adjustments. And in addition to measurement, then we also have reporting, which is, I guess, quite simply just the public sharing of that information, right? Whether it's in annual reports or digital media or other channels to inform stakeholders about what the company's doing. So I think that's what we're talking about here. Yeah.
So now that we've level set on I guess, the definition, What's the current state of, I guess, corporate reporting on philanthropy, CSR, and corporate citizenship?
So this is a great question. And I should add that the Conference Board has been doing a lot of work on this recently. We have a lot of focus on corporate citizenship and corporate philanthropy. We have a lot of member companies that really emphasize and prioritize corporate citizenship investments. So we've been doing a big sort of research project and big convenings, and we've actually just put out a recent report that synthesizes some of our findings. And in terms of the current state, what we really found is that the current state is I think at best mixed. Corporate foundations, so that the charitable affiliated foundations are required to submit certain kinds of forms to the IRS, you know, around their contributions and so on. But otherwise, companies really have no real like sort of legal or regulatory obligation to actually report at all on their citizenship activities or measure them at all. And because of this, there's very few common standards or established best practices across the private sector. Lots of companies really sort of limit the kind of information that they at least share publicly. We actually found only about 30% of the Russell 3000, so that's the 3000 largest US public companies, even publicly share how much the charitable contributions are, right? Which is pretty much the kind of bare minimum baseline. So there's a lot of room for improvement here. I think the good news is that citizenship executives are aware of this. We actually found that only about a third of our surveyed companies are actually that satisfied with the current state. Many are dissatisfied, and a significant number expect reporting to become more challenging in the years to come. So I think that there is an appetite to do better here. For sure.
When we talk about reporting, and I've talked about this in other episodes, where there's a difference between reporting activities, you know, things like, you know, a number of hours volunteered or amount of money provided or given, you know, amount of skills-based volunteering, but there's very little in terms of measuring the actual output of what you're trying to do for the cause, for the community, for the people. And I think obviously that's a harder one, because sometimes those outcomes, they take a couple years, maybe even a couple decades to actually see the fruits of your labor. So how can you differentiate, or where is the direction of that type of reporting though?
Yeah, sure. I think this really gets into some of the key issues. And, you know, and I'm sure many of the social impact professionals watching the show are very familiar with, you know, the terminology of inputs and outputs and outcomes. This is one of the more persistent debates, right, in impact measurement. And actually, in our recent work, the Conference Board did do an analysis of the citizenship reporting practices at 100 leading companies. So very much some of the largest public companies, with some private companies as well. And what we actually found was, and we tracked all the kind of metrics that they were sharing publicly, right, in citizenship. What we found was that virtually all of those companies we looked at do share some kind of quantitative input metric, right? So that's the, you know, the resources that are being put in, whether that's, you know, financial contributions, employee volunteer hours, donations of products. Obviously, these are the most straightforward and easy to verify metrics, right? But the number really goes down once you start looking at outputs. So, and what we mean by outputs is, you know, the activities that occur because of those inputs, you know, so the number of people reached, or the number of teachers trained, or number of students in learning programs. Only about half of the companies were doing any reporting on any sort of quantitative metrics in that sphere. And when you look further towards the outcomes that you mentioned, so the resulting improvements in well-being, right? So the number of children gaining reading proficiency, the number of unemployed people gaining jobs, the real kind of change that we're trying to see in the world, right? Only about one-fifth of those companies put any kind of public number on that, right? And I think it's sort of, I guess that speaks to the complexity or perceived complexity of those metrics. As you mentioned, they are longer term. They are perhaps a little bit more intangible, a little bit more multidimensional, harder sometimes to quantify. And even if you have the numbers, perhaps harder to verify. So I think what we really see is that companies are comfortable talking about the numbers they can control, right? The money they put in, the hours they put in, but it becomes a lot more challenging once you start looking towards those longer term outcomes. And it's interesting because that's also perhaps where the biggest appetite is for improved standards. You know, I think lots of decision executives that we talk to want to do better, but I guess struggle because of the complexity, or at least the perceived complexity.
So how does this type of reporting differ from other type of reporting, like financial reporting or even ESG reporting, which has its own kind of set of issues as well?
I think there's obviously other types of corporate reporting. You mentioned the annual financial reporting, which is, you know, very standardized, very regulated. You also have ESG and sustainability reporting, which I think is going in the same direction. You know, we're seeing increasing regulatory requirements and disclosure obligations. And I think corporate citizenship reporting has been influenced and learned a lot from these, right? I think it has definitely adapted a focus on data and information, right? A longer-term perspective on societal outcomes. And this is one of the key recommendations we make in our recent work. Citizenship reporting is different, right? And it shouldn't just try to duplicate, particularly ESG reporting. I think, first of all, it has a different target audience. You know, ESG and sustainability reporting actually pretty much targeted at the financial investor community and designed in a way to be easily scraped by them. Citizenship's very much more focused on you know, current and prospective employees, the general public, consumers, and I think therefore has a different style to it, right? As we discussed, citizenship reporting also not subject to much regulation, which I think on the one hand has led to perhaps a lack of consistency, but it also gives a certain amount of freedom and flexibility and creativity that other types of reporting don't have. And I think this is where citizenship can and should diverge, right? The citizenship is perhaps reporting is perhaps more about the powerful stories and talking about your nonprofit partners and the transformation that you're seeing or aspiring to see in society. So I think there's a lot to learn and borrow from ESG and financial reporting, but it certainly shouldn't just emulate them, for sure.
So if there's no obligation, unlike ESG reporting, right? So if there's no obligation for companies to actually report on citizenship or social impact activities, why even do it at all? And what are the main drivers to actually report?
I think what we see in practice is many firms, and in particular, the larger firms do obviously choose to report on and measure their citizenship activities. I think, first of all, measurement itself is very valuable, right? You know, if you don't measure, you can't manage, right? If you You measure so you can prove your effectiveness and improve your effectiveness, right? So I think the act of measurement itself has important business benefits and societal benefits. And then in terms of reporting, I think following on from sort of the previous question, there's clearly a target audience here, right? And when you're reporting on your citizenship activities, I guess you are also enhancing or seeking to enhance your corporate reputation with employees, with consumers, with the general public. And these reputational benefits, I think, are a key part of the business case for corporate citizenship in general, right? So I think there are clear societal and business motivations here, even if there's no, you know, legal or regulatory obligation to do so.
Well, let's shift to the actual act or process of measuring, right? So, like, I guess, first of all, what are some of the challenges to measuring and quantifying your philanthropic social impact efforts?
So this is a really interesting area, right? And we did ask some of these questions in our surveys and convenings of corporate executives. And I think we heard a lot of challenges. I'd point to really some persistent issues around actually data collection and quality, right? That even think you've got a big corporate citizenship program, right? You've got a big portfolio of initiatives, perhaps even across multiple countries and multiple challenges and multiple thematic areas. It's very difficult to gather accurate and comprehensive data, right? And ensure that quality, ensure that consistency across different programs, across geographies. Also can be very challenging across multiple nonprofit partners, right? Obviously, corporate citizenship has to be delivered in practice with and through nonprofits. Some of the larger nonprofits have a very professional, rigorous capacity for gathering and verifying data, but it not all nonprofits have that capability, right? And it does come with a resource constraint, with a cost. So I think that's a key challenge that we hear a lot. And I think there are things companies can do in this area, whether it's around, you know, investing in more robust data management systems, leveraging technology to automate key processes, and perhaps most importantly, really sort of perhaps being prepared to invest in the capacity of nonprofits. I think if companies want to really take measurement to that next level, they perhaps have to be prepared to support and nurture and build the capacity of their nonprofit partners to do so along the way. You know, they definitely can't go it alone here.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit before when we talked about outcomes versus outputs. So obviously, if you could measure the outcomes, that would be the holy grail, or like, you know, what the end goal of measuring corporate citizenship, social impact, corporate social responsibility would be. So how would you go about doing that effectively and efficiently?
So this is one of the key questions, isn't it? And something that, yeah, as you say, it's the holy grail for many social impact practitioners, really. How do you measure outcomes in a way that is effective, efficient, cost-effective? I think for us, and what we've heard from our members and what we've seen in some of our work, is that, yeah, there's clearly a lot of benefits and advantages to measuring outcomes. I think there's obvious reasons why we want to do it, you know, so we can really see what change we're having in the world and how we can do it better. I think it's outcome measurement is also perceived by many corporate citizenship practitioners to be very challenging, right? You know, due to the complexity of the issues, the lack of standardized metrics, the huge challenges in actually even attributing and determining causality. But, and this is something where we go into a bit more depth in our work, and we partnered in our work with True Impact, which is you know, a specialist organization that works in this field and supports a lot of companies, that you can overcome these challenges through some sort of very practical and pragmatic ways, you know, whether that's around, you know, identifying clear success thresholds, sort of focusing on the things that really matter, kind of using sort of cost-effective methods rather than trying to do the really sort of overly elaborate academic methods, and just trying to be pragmatic about it and perhaps recognizing that there is some uncertainty and there is some assumptions that need to be made. But you can say the same for any kind of business measurement or business transaction, right? So I think there is ways to overcome these challenges and accurately and confidently outcome measures. I should also add one point here as well, and we make this recommendation in our work, that while quantitative outcome metrics are extremely important, you know, enhancing citizenship measurement and reporting and telling your story. Companies shouldn't lose sight of storytelling, you know, that these metrics only are impactful in the broader context of powerful narratives, you know, and simply saying that a company, you know, gave X million amount of dollars or impacted X million amount of people may not actually move key audiences as much as, you know, some of the narratives of beneficiaries and the individual stories. So it's worth always keeping that in mind, that the metrics are only most powerful when they're twinned with, you know, the qualitative stories.
I definitely agree with you on the storytelling aspect, because, you know, it's easy to report the numbers. It's easy to report how many hours. And sometimes those hours are like, hey, we volunteered over 2,000 or 3,000 hours in this last quarter. And that sounds like a pretty big number for, you know, whatever company. But what did your volunteer actually lead?
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then how can you relay that to all the different stakeholders that, you know, your company's trying to reach, not just for reputation management, but I think it's also, hey, intrinsically, we are a company that wants to do good. Here's how we're doing it. And, you know, our efforts are actually paying off to the communities that you know, we're going into. So I think I very much advocate for that. And hopefully companies do that and work with you on that. But there is one thing I wanted to touch on is when we talk about measurement, I guess, one thing that's always difficult is each company could measure their corporate citizenship programs differently than another company. And so then how would people know that, hey, that company is actually doing good versus that company is just the numbers? But the thing is, there's no standardized way to do that. Like, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, there isn't standardized metrics here, right? And I think in some ways, some might argue that it's not possible or desirable to have standardized metrics when you have such different types of programs addressing such different kinds of issues in such different places, right? I think one interesting thing we did hear from our citizenship executives and our member companies, but there is an appetite for standardization. Actually, we found 60% of surveyed companies and 60% of surveyed companies consider societal outcomes to be the area that would benefit most. So there is a real opportunity for standardization here. I just think it's going to be challenging. You know, I think it will require, you know, perhaps industry specific groups. It will require benchmarking against peers. It will require investment in new kind of data tools, and perhaps require much more kind of complex partnerships. So I think it's an admirable aim, but there's still some way to go, I think, before we can get there.
So let's shift to reporting. And, you know, when companies are presenting these reports, how are they, what do they look like? What's usually included?
I guess this is the practicalities of what we're actually saying, right? And what we're actually doing. So we, as I mentioned, we did a big analysis of 100 companies and their reporting practices at the conference board. One of the things we did, along with tracking the metrics, we also tracked the sort of what were the priority issues that were being reported on and what kind of mediums and channels they were being reported in. So it's a nice little sort of snapshot of what companies are currently doing, right? And in terms of the actual themes, it was quite interesting because we found the priority themes that you see again and again are some of the big issues of the day, right? Disaster response, racial equality, COVID-19 in the last few years. Obviously that's dropped off now, along with sort of education, health, economic opportunity. So you sort of see that many companies are doing, or at least prioritizing, the same kind of issues, right? They might be addressing them in very different ways, but we do see them. And then you see sort of less frequent but emerging areas like civic participation and environmental justice. So we're also tracking some interesting new areas. In terms of the ways in which this information has been coming along, it's quite interesting, right? That actually the majority of companies are, the primary place where they're sharing their citizenship information tends to be in an ESG or sustainability report, right? Often in just a sort of little section on communities or social or people. And that seems a logical approach in some ways, but one of the recommendations we make in our report is that given that ESG and sustainability reports are very much targeted at a financial audience, perhaps companies should consider, you know, if not alternatives, at least additional places to do. You know, whether that's a standalone citizenship report, you know, for the company website, digital media, etc. So I think there's lots of channels companies can use, and perhaps they should consider in addition to your standard ESG report.
Now, I want to go back to storytelling because I think a major insight from one of your recent reports, and what you were saying is that it's vital, and we, you know, I mentioned that. But so when you say this, how do companies actually improve their storytelling? And, you know, what are some things that they need to take into consideration?
As we mentioned, storytelling is, or at least should be, like the key lens through which citizenship reporting is approached. Perhaps first of all, just to clarify that we did ask our companies sort of what criteria do you use to choose stories to highlight, right? Which I think was a really interesting question to ask. And we found that the key factors are if the story aligns with core strategy, if it has significant impact, and is perceived to resonate with target audiences. So I think that kind of makes sense, right? And that might be helpful for our viewers tuning in today, that those are the kind of perhaps things to keep in mind, that those are the stories that really hit and those are the stories that really land. To actually improve the quality and depth of storytelling, I think there's lots of things companies to do. I perhaps just point to three things. I think first of all, you know, share genuine stories, you know, that do reflect the company's impact and efforts. You know, try and avoid overstating your achievements and you know, falling into that trap of greenwashing. You know, do perhaps acknowledge areas for improvement along with the successes. I mean, that's a big one, because in doing so, you will build trust and credibility with your key stakeholders, right? And I mean, the second is, and this is an important one, don't just tell the company story, right? You know, also tell the story of those third parties, in particular, the nonprofit partners who, you know, are really doing a lot of the work on the ground. And at the same time, support those partners to tell their story, because their story is also your story, right? So there is a constellation of storytelling here, which the company can help cultivate and ultimately benefit from. And the third and final point I might just add is following on from some of the things we said earlier, really be prepared to utilize different kind of ways of transmitting and disseminating information, right? Yeah, you have your annual reports, which are perhaps the obvious place to look, but you can also use, you know, videos, infographics, social media, interactive web content. And there's lots of ways in which companies can really make their citizenship story more accessible and more fun, right? And as we particularly look towards some of the trends that are coming, I can definitely envision down the line, perhaps, you know, real-time data dashboards and utilizing generative AI, all these kind of cool things to really sort of enhance and will we make this more effective, right? So I think there's a lot to be excited about in this field.
I think when we talk about storytelling, just to further that, when you talk about videos and so on, I think like people are craving that more authentic kind of like conversation. You see it in all the social channels. Mm-hmm. And I feel like yes, you can still put out a report, right, that some people may read, but I think like what people want to do is consume that information pretty quickly in a way that, hey, maybe it's a little brief summary, someone talking about it, put some, you're right, some infographics or like maybe like vertical style, just to keep things like, hey, there's actually somebody talking to me about that report, that study, that like can explain it in a way that's, oh, okay, that actually makes sense, and kind of tell. When you know, when you think of storytelling, you think of somebody, you're around somebody and somebody is telling you that story, right? So I think that's an important element of it.
Yeah, I think really nicely put, Carl, and I completely agree that yeah, I think there's always going to be a place for an annual report, right? It's sort of, and it's what you do and it's an established practice. But yeah, I guess particularly if we're saying that the target audience for citizenship is consumers and to the general public and employees, how many are really going to be reading those reports? It's very few, right? And as you say, they're not going to find them engaging. Whereas, as you say, when you have the more kind of direct contact, that's direct content, the very personalized stories, the compelling visuals, the kind of the creative approach, right? And I guess talk about things that really matter to people, right? You know, bread and butter economic issues, social issues, the environment, clean air, clean water. Like these are the things that resonate with people, right? So I think real opportunity for companies to do more here, because so many have such an interesting corporate citizenship story and such an exciting and impactful story that perhaps have not yet fully conveyed publicly. So I mean, there's a lot of potential here to do more, for sure. And I guess, and perhaps it goes without saying, but to do that effectively will require, you know, working closely with colleagues in marketing and communications, right? They're the guys who know how to do this. This is their everyday job.
For sure. I guess to close it off here, where do you see the future trends, opportunities of corporate citizenship reporting, measuring and reporting going?
So I think we kind of touched on some of these, right? But I think there's some really interesting and exciting things to get involved in and to monitor coming down the pike. I think, first of all, that as we kind of touched on the new technologies, right? But there's been a lot of talk of generative AI in the last year for obvious reasons. I think AI technologies have the potential across the entire business to be transformative, right? But I think in this sphere, they can do a lot, you know, on the measurement front, can maybe assist in sort of gathering and crunching big volumes of data, you know, forecasting the outcomes, perhaps really help in predicting and verifying the outcomes, automating the creation of reports. And then on the actual reporting side, I think there's a lot around that AI can do to sort of tailor communications to different stakeholders, you know, enable more dynamic platforms, create new kinds of compelling stories. Interestingly, we did actually ask our citizenship executives if any are using generative AI in citizenship measurement reporting. No company currently is, but many are exploring it. Yeah, so I think it's something that we're going to really see in the next 2 years. So that's a very obvious one. I would also add on top of that, I think there's big potential to track and say more on, you know, we're talking a lot about sort of societal impact, societal outcomes, but the actual return of investment of citizenship efforts to the company, right? You know, so I think the impact that doing this work has on employee engagement or opening up new markets or brand and reputation, it's perhaps not something that immediately comes to mind in these discussions, but I think there's huge potential here, right? Because it's by helping to demonstrate and prove this, I think it sort of builds the business case for citizenship. It helps demonstrate accountability for resources and instills a little bit more market discipline as well. So I think that's something to look out for. Not many companies are currently doing that. We only found about 3% of companies in our study are doing anything along those lines publicly, but I think more are exploring it. And the very final thing I'd simply say is I think this goes back to what we said earlier, is standardized practices. I think that's something we have to look out for in the future. It may be something that we have to actively and proactively work towards, but I think that's something to keep an eye out for, because I think if we can sort of crack that nut a little bit, you will see some real progress and some real advancement and sort of industry alignment. So yeah, I think there's a lot to look out for in this field.
So Andrew, if our audience wants to connect with you, learn more about the Conference Board, where's the best place to reach you?
So I'd say me personally, I'm very open to being contacted on LinkedIn. I think I'm quite easy to find, just Andrew Jones at the Conference Board. I'd also recommend just checking out the Conference Board resources in general, right? If you just visit conferenceboard.org, you'll find a wealth of resources, not just on corporate citizenship and ESG, but on all ranges of business issues, including, you know, geopolitical, economic, human capital. We do a lot, and we create a lot of trusted insights for what's ahead. I'd encourage people to reach out. And I should also add, we published our recent report on the current state of citizenship measurement and reporting just a couple months ago. So do feel free to access that as well. That is publicly available.
Thank you for listening to the Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.